I think sound has this ability, you know. We talked about meaning, we talked about engagement, we talked about flexibility, versatility. So all those things, you know, could be interesting for any brand.
Yeah, they're very important, I would think. It's a great way to make an actual connection with your audience, with your clients.
Exactly. A little more thrill as well. Like we talked about surprise, but I feel like people are used to visual communication. They understand that, you know, there's logo animation and everything is like the sign at the bottom of the page, et cetera. I feel like you add this extra layer of surprise as well. It's quite interesting.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Val Fleur.
So what's your take on AI in all of this? Are you using any of that for any of the things that you do? Or is it just like a content creation shortcut maybe
Yeah,
that...
I mean, we use that, you know, ChatGPT has been helpful a couple of times, but I'm not a big user. I know some of my colleagues are like into it a lot. Creatively speaking, I think it's phenomenal. Visually speaking, mostly I would say, like what they can generate in with AI is really spectacular. I don't know if you've bumped into I come up with that series because I loved it when it came out, the Harry Potter series with Wes Anderson context. So basically, they were recreating all the Harry Potter's character through Wes Anderson's vision. Obviously, super, super colorful and super great and great perspective. Very well done. Very, very well done. And I feel like this is where market is going. And I feel like sonically, there are a couple platforms offering those kind of services. Right now, what I don't know, and that's what I like maybe about the series about Wes Anderson, if I had to make this comparison, what I like about it is like it's very well controlled, so you have defined the ingredients and the flavor, so it's easier. And right now, I don't. I think that's the next move. Like, how do you domesticate this platform and AI in general sonically? That's
I
the
think
next
it's,
challenge.
yeah, I think it's about personalization. So if you're, personalizing it is a little difficult to do on the regular, but the AI can just do that.
Yes.
So,
So
yeah.
yeah, I'm very curious to know where this is going. I mean, I'm sure some things will come up in the next couple of years. I mean, Meta was a big was a big thing, and I don't know. It didn't vanish or didn't disappear, but I'm sure it's gonna come back strong in the next years.
Well, all I can see right now is a change of the name. That's, I mean, I don't know that they've done anything else with it other than change their name. What,
Yeah.
like, I haven't seen any difference. That and Threads are about the only new thing that I've
Yeah.
seen.
That's very true. Yeah.
So, I
But
don't know.
it's
And
funny
that
how it, you
wasn't,
know,
yeah.
it got us very excited, though. It
It
got us
did.
very intrigued. Yeah.
It did. And there's a lot, I think, that will happen in the next. While, but out of curiosity, so how do you envision Sonic branding in a in 10 years from now? Like, do you see things happening in the future that would make it, that would revolutionize it?
But to me, I mean, yeah, like virtual reality, augmented reality would be a challenge. How do we live in this context? And in terms of, you know, like balancing connections between in real life and on virtual will be kind of key. I think this will happen. And it's going to be challenging for brands. And I believe that brands that are able today to better perform in real life will have a better chance to perform in a virtual world, especially when it comes to, you know, like those when talking about security and payments and even advertising, because, you know, you're just like putting those goggles on. So you're just like in a screen already. So there's, you know, you're not going to be able to grab your phone in a virtual world easily. So, you know, getting out of the screen itself is going to be challenging. So I think like advertising is going to have to come through sound as well. So it's going to be quite interesting, like, you know, walking through a mall and hearing music, you know, like you're going to be, how are you going to advertise? And are you going to be paying for advertising in a virtual world? Could be quite interesting. So I feel like this is where it's going to go. I think it's going to be also super tighter as well. So notification sound is going to be like shorter, micro bellies are going to be key. Yes, it's, I'm curious.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of interesting things on the horizon. But also, I'm wondering, what do you say to people who think that this is manipulative?
Oh, sound?
Yeah. I mean, it totally can be. So,
yeah.
I mean, and so can any advertising, really. But
yeah, I mean, you know, it's sound as the ability to connect you on an emotional level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I'm watching, I was talking to you about this like earlier in this conversation, when I'm watching a movie and the score matches the intention that I see on screen, mm-hmm. I feel like it's more enjoyable this way. And that's, you know, like it's about storytelling in general. Like, how do we impact or add this extra layer of branding and add this emotional component to the brand expression? That's what we're trying to do. And I mean, that's about that. So basically, we try to make those brands more enjoyable. And so, and sometimes, you know, go beyond the logo and go beyond the visual, because sometimes the visual doesn't represent what the brand is anymore, you know? They cannot all be Nike, you know? They cannot be this swoosh and this beautiful shape that's super inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have a dated logo, a visual, and, you know, they need sound to add this extra brand expression. We're not this anymore, you know?
Have you run across a particular brand that you were working on with that kind of problem?
I don't know if it's a problem, but, you know, like when we work with, you know, RBC, for example, like their logo is, it's pretty dominant, you know,
you
have this lion and the world, and it's very, you know, it could, if you look at it, it doesn't express who they are right now. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, the power, imagination, ideas be with their clients is on a day to day is not what their logo is saying, you know? So, I'm not saying that this is wrong. I feel like you recognize it and this is great, but also maybe it doesn't express who they are in the moment and mm-hmm. the best of their brand platform. So this is an example that I'm sure there are hundreds of logos like this that you keep, but need an extra expression in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the update, I guess.
What do you mean that's the update?
Well, when you're taking a logo that may or may not represent them anymore, then you're updating it with the Sonic brand, with like a Sonic logo or something to make it feel more connected, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's an update. I wouldn't dare to say that it's an update. I'm just saying that we just try to add this extra expression, basically, and how should it feel?
Mm-hmm.
And add this emotion to it. That's what we intend to do sometimes. Yes. So to your question, like, is it manipulative? I don't know. I just know that we want to complete the story of the brand sometimes with sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it depends on how people take it. but if you're telling a story, then at least it's entertaining at the same time that it's selling.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's tend to be inspiring and
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly an interesting way to get someone to pay attention to a brand. Definitely, you know, it makes an impression on us, especially as you mentioned, we're also visually overstimulated.
For sure, and that adds this element of surprise as well. And I don't know, I'm sure you bumped into that study with, I think it was Ipsos in 2020. Mm-hmm. they were comparing the different, brand assets and on brand attention and basically sonic brand cues that were specifically designed for the brand would perform sometimes, eight times more than a regular visual, for example. That means that, this element of surprise that you would add at the end of a TV commercial would have an impact on more impact on the audiences than a logo or a personality or something that they've, bumped into quite regularly. So adding this dimension could definitely have add this performance.
Are you looking for ways to improve your company's or podcast's impact? You'd be surprised how powerful the use of an intentional audio branding strategy can be. Want to know more? I have a free downloadable PDF that gives you my 5 tips for implementing an intentional audio strategy at voiceoversandvocals.com/audio-branding-strategy. That location does ask to put you on a mailing list, just to send you updates on when the new podcasts come out. But if you really don't want to give your email out, I understand. Just contact me directly. My email is all over my website, and I'll make sure you get that PDF without needing to sign up anywhere. If you do sign up, though, you also get access to a resources section called The Studio, where I have videos, white papers and PDFs, discounts from my guests, and snippets of audio from my guests that no one else gets to hear. So maybe it's worth your while. Totally up to you. And of course, if you're looking for voiceovers, you can get in touch with me about that too. Now, back to the podcast.
I think I remember seeing in a study also that brands that used a sonic logo that actually had their brand name in the sonic logo performed better than ones that didn't. I'm curious as to what you think about that. Do you think that's accurate? or do you think maybe it doesn't matter in some instances, or I don't know.
I think it really depends. I mean, if you have a very dull sonic logo and it's just like a regular grand piano and you have the name of the brand, then okay, you create this impression. But if you know what I'm saying,
if it's really different,
if it's really differentiating and you have this energy and you get this emotion, sometimes you just don't need it. It's just right there. It's all that matters. So, I've no particular take on that. I think there's, good and bad in both ways. But I think in all ways, if you want to create a very distinctive sonic brand and sonic ecosystem, you have to, make bold moves, and you have to look for this distinctiveness. I have said that in the past, but I'm going to repeat myself. I work in this industry where when you present a creative project to a client, and if they like it right away, you tend to tell them, hey, I'm so pleased you're liking this. And it just happened with one of my clients last night. We were presenting and they really enjoyed this project. And we told them, hey, if you like it right away, that means you probably heard it in the past, or you have a connection to this melody already. So in the long run, might not perform as good as something that would sound more distinctive. And that's what we tell our clients. It needs to have this distinctiveness, something that's curious, something that stands out. Michael Marbos would say weird sometimes. We say, no, don't say weird. It's more distinctive.
Maybe that's not the best word. Yeah.
Yeah. But like something that's, stands out, like, that's intriguing. Oh, I would not expect that. What is that? Those reactions
unexpected.
Are important. And that's what we are obviously looking for.
Yeah, definitely. There must be quite a process to going through figuring out for the client what really would be distinctive for them. So, like when you're doing this process, obviously you let them hear where you're going with things, but how do you make something that's distinctive that still fits their brand? 'Cause that's a tough call, right? And it isn't. Like, are you just getting their impression, or are you also getting their clients' impressions at some point? Or, like, is there testing involved? Or, Like how everything. It just seems like such a process. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't always have the same process. It follows the same kind of, you know, kind of route. Mm-hmm. But the ideal scenario is when you, first of all, we do competitive analysis. At least we know what's going on the market. Are there any trends? Right now, for example, I wouldn't be happy to be a newcomer in the insurance business in the U.S. because it's very saturated with different personalities and Sonic logos.
Oh, yeah.
But still, you have to know what exists, right?
They were one of the first to start using this, weren't they? I guess because it's a pretty boring industry otherwise.
Yeah. And, you know, like some have been used for more than 30 years, like State Farm has been there for a while. So, you know, like when you have such a strong brand asset, it forces your competitors to do something about it as well. And that's why they had to react through sound as well. You know, some come with like solution that I wouldn't dare to develop. You know, like we were talking about names in the brand, like Liberty Mutual was saying Liberty for like, I don't know, like 5 times in a row, I think. It's a way to be distinctive. Is it meaningful? I have no idea. Is it performing? Apparently. But does it, you know, does it build brand equity? It's a question mark for me because, you know, it doesn't say much to just say your name 5 times in a row.
It's memorable.
As I told you, it's performing.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, yeah. And it's always like a top 50 in the Veritonic Index. So, yeah, it has those qualities for sure. But again, what do you remember? This kind of jingle-y sound? Anyway, maybe side conversation to this question you were asking about the process. So understanding the landscape, the competitors, the trends as well is important. What I enjoy doing is this conversation we're having today is like interviews, talk to different people within the organization, and from different, you know, divisions, communication, branding, retail, you know, like, And people from, you know, different backgrounds and different history as well is quite interesting. You know, some people would have worked like for, oh, I just arrived. Yeah, that's great. Like, we want to have your perspective because you are fresh in the organization.
If they then they have the outside perspective almost.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you want to get the perspective of somebody that's been working in this industry and this company for like 25 years and see how everything has changed and where they believe this the company is going to head to. That's to me, that's one of the key moments where you start gathering some great insights about the brand. And then in terms of creative work, mood boards are obviously a key moment, and we just, like, you know, get the platform, get the promise, get the core brand values, and then we start to, how can we express those things? Like, I don't know, let's say eco-friendly, forward thinker, seamlessness, those values, they could resonate in different ways through sound. That's why we have this, what we call the listening committee. It's a big name where we just have like maybe 10 people from the agency and from the brand together as a team, just to listen to how we can express the brand platform. And this is great. We just sit there, we play those bits of sound. Usually it's like 5 to 10 seconds long, and then let them react to them. And telling them that, you know, they should not hear through their ears, but through the ears of the brand, which could be sometimes very tricky for them, but it's also quite, you know, quite interesting. Sometimes they feel like they are not musicians, so they don't know how to express. But, you know, it's like, you know, doing some wine tasting. Sometimes you don't know the proper way to express the wine, but sometimes you just express what you feel. And it's already a good way to express yourself. Do you see what I mean? So you don't have to be a musician to develop a sonic brand.
You still like what you like.
Exactly. Or you just like, oh, this is interesting. This is what I like about it. The instrumentation might be off, but what it makes me feel is that, and this is what we collect. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's the one of the greatest moments in the creative process. And then we move on to creating those sonic DNAs, you know, those 30 to 45 second composition, the sonic logo, and the end frame. That's the beginning of the journey.
Yeah.
And then they can react to those different projects. And then we shortlist the one that we believe perform the best, and then sometimes we test, sometimes we don't. You know, it really depends up to, it's up to the clients. When they have the means to test, it's always better. So at least you know, sometimes you can compare. We've done that for a cosmetic brand recently, and we compared two shortlisted, they were incapable of choosing. So we let the market choose for them.
Okay, and that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. And also, when I say that, like, what did they have in mind? Like, their feeling about the Sonic DNA, would they match the brand expression? So they picked the one that was the best aligned to what they wanted to express in their brand platform. That's how they decided.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really interesting process. And I'm sure like every company has a different one and that it changes depending on the client. So yeah, it's a, it sounds like such a creative and interesting thing to be doing though. Like
it is
so much fun.
It is fun. It is fun. And it is also very niche. Mm-hmm. We're not that many players globally to do that. It feels great to be to feel like the clients that they do believe in us and trust our expertise, so they tend to listen to our opinions and perspective, which is always nice, and they, you know, they're in for the journey themselves, you know, like the VPs, the CMOs, they're sometimes in our listening committee. They want to be part of it because it's a different experience for most of them. They must have worked on maybe 5 to 6 different visual identity changes over the years, but working on their sonic identity is very new to them. So they want to be, they're engaged in the process, which is great.
I really appreciate you being here. Know anyone that you think would make a great guest for this podcast? Someone who works in sound on behalf of clients? Please do get in touch. I'd love to hear about them. Your recommendations are always super helpful. And now back to the show.
That is great. Yeah. And so important too, to have them involved in the process, because I mean, they need to believe in it just as much as you do.
Exactly. And simplifies also the decision-making. If the decision maker is in the room, it goes way faster.
Oh, I'll imagine. Yeah, definitely. So having worked on a lot of these, why do you think sound matters? I mean, because I think like a lot of people who are very entrenched in the visual part of the brand wonder, well, why should we be paying attention to sound? What does it matter? And what would you say to someone like that?
What does it, I mean, because it's, I think it's an afterthought in general. I think it's undervalued, and I think it performs well. And sometimes so much better than visual. And I was, you know, referring to this episode study that I brought up.
Sure.
And that's what marketers are looking for, you know, a little bit more engagement, a little bit more performance, and make sure that they can make the most out of their communication investment. So all new assets or no new ways to develop that awareness, performance, engagement should not be overlooked. And I think sound has this ability, you know. We talked about meaning, we talked about engagement, we talked about flexibility, versatility. Mm-hmm. So all those things, you know, could be interesting for any brand.
Yeah, they're very important, I would think. It's a great way to make an actual connection with your audience, with your clients.
Exactly. A little more thrill as well. Like we talked about surprise, but I feel like people are used to visual communication. They understand that, you know, there's logo animation and everything is like the sign at the bottom of the page, etc. I feel like you add this extra layer of surprise as well. It's quite interesting.
Definitely. Yeah. And that's what I love about doing this podcast, is we talk about this all the time. That is the point of the whole discussion.
Yeah.
But so can you tell us what you're working on now that you can talk about?
So, yeah. So we've launched recently the Sonic ecosystem for TD.
I heard that. I just saw that on LinkedIn today. And yeah, I will definitely hear that in my local market. I'm looking forward to it. But they have a US division as well. So yeah, that's going to be everywhere.
It's going to be everywhere for sure. Even in your ATMs, which I'm very proud about.
Fantastic. Please. That's one of the things that I have always been really disappointed in that the Sonic brand does not carry through into the machines, which it really should.
Exactly. That's one of my my dreams coming true, and very happy about this. But yeah, TD has been launched, so it's quite exciting. We'll see how the market reacts to it. It's been out there a little bit. It's been in different TV commercials, but they came up with like a broad ecosystem. So yeah, more to come soon, and a couple of other brands in. I'm working for Orient Express.
Okay.
The train, you know, Paris to Venice. We're doing the entire sonorization for them to follow all the different steps of the journey, you know, dinner and for the brunch and all the proper tracks that are curated to highlight the entire experience of the train.
Wow.
This has been an unbelievable client. And right now there's another brand in the cosmetic world I cannot tell you all about.
Okay.
I cannot mention, but quite an inciting project as well. And yes, looking forward to maybe a next podcast together so I can tell you all about it. But yeah, quite exciting. Yes.
I'm looking forward to hearing more. Yeah. And how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to get in touch?
My
What's
email.
The best way?
My email is.
You don't have
easy.
To give out your email here, but if you do, you want them to go on LinkedIn they
LinkedIn
find you
is
all
fine.
On LinkedIn.
Yeah. But it's my full name. It's Valentin Fleur.
Okay.
But yeah, LinkedIn, email. I mean, I'm also on the website, so easy to reach out and.
On the Cesium Song website, you mean?
Cesium Song website, exactly.
Okay.
And or give me a call. And, you know, I love to get calls, but I feel like people are always on Zoom. People don't call anymore. I don't know if you noticed that.
We don't use our phones for calling anymore. No.
No, but we send vocal messages though, which I find quite interesting. We don't call people, but we send them vocal messages. So I think it's quite an interesting trend. Maybe that's something that we should have brought up into this episode.
Maybe, yeah. I think maybe people are used to being passive listeners. I think that's a lot of what this is. And so they don't necessarily want the exchange. They just want to do it on their own terms.
Yeah.
I think we're all very protective of our own little worlds these days.
Maybe that's what it is.
But thank you so much for coming today, Val. This
thank
was
you so
really
much.
Great.
Thank you for having me. Thank
yeah.
you.
Love
great.
The conversation. Thank you so much.
Me as well. Me too.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.